A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Just got a text from a buddy. He said, actual response from Alexa when asking about the Suns game. The Atlanta Hawks are currently demolishing the Phoenix Suns. That was Alexa's response.
Synopsis of the game. Demolishing.
Just like, demolishing. I think that at some point, you know, the algorithm says, hey, if it's above this point, you can start to make fun of the other team.
You can use the word
so
demolish.
Look, if the robot is making that call on how things are going, it's currently it's 123-92. So up.
With about 3.5 minutes to go.
Yeah. So that's
313.
A lot. 313. They're up 31 with 313 left. I think Scott, you calling them your early MVP is not that crazy. And then on that same night, the Jazz are up at the half 66-42. So that's a 24-point lead for them at the half. And as things currently go, the Jazz would officially at the end of tonight be up one full game on the Phoenix Suns. So there you go. Very exciting. Good stuff. And you know what? The Suns, they're going to be on the road for like the whole rest of the season, basically. So we'll see how this thing works out.
And they've got those dreaded back-to-backs.
They got a lot of back-to-backs. It's going to be tough. So we'll keep our eyes on that one. I mean, I don't know at this point what the better one is. Is it better to have the one seed or the two seed? I think just for bragging rights, you go, we had the best record in the NBA. Why not take it?
There has to be a reason why it's good. I mean, normally you get that home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Yeah. You get more rest typically than other teams, and you know, and a lot of it, it's like you usually get the worst draw. I mean, like the worst team. So, you know, a lot of these really good one seeds tend to win in four, and that helps them even get more rest, because you know, getting rest and being fresh in the playoffs is really what it's all about. So, and to have that home crowd,
you got to get fresh, baby. You got to get fresh.
Got to get fresh.
The home crowd obviously makes a difference. I wonder what the numbers are going to get up to by the time the Jazz are into the postseason. I bet we would be close to 10,000 fans.
I bet it gets to double digits.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Double digits?
Well,
10, 15 people maybe watching the game.
You know what I meant. Like the tens of thousands.
Yeah, okay.
That means double. Yeah, I get that. Means double digits in my world, okay? Leave me
there could
alone.
Be as many as – this is what ESPN – this is how ESPN sees the world. There could be as many as 20 people watching this Jazz game tonight. See, that's why we can't have that. Appropriate that we're talking about the Western Conference race and just how things are going, because we're going to have a little bit of a LeBron, I don't know, it's not going to be a trash talk session. It's just going to be about some analytics about those ankles. Ankle analytics, here we go.
The Cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
It's not the weird, I mean, look, anything LeBron does or says ends up getting, you know, it's going to get some attention. For good or bad, I mean, it doesn't matter what he puts out there. If he's talking about Taco Tuesday, if he's talking about politics in any form, he's going to get ripped up and down, or he's going to get praised.
He pushes the needle. I mean,
he absolutely does. He has, no, you know, 50,000+ followers on all of his social media, you know, just on Twitter alone. And, you know, so obviously people pay attention to what LeBron's doing quite often. And
so he'll be in double digits soon.
He'll be close to double digits of followers. So that's triple digits, man. Like at that point, you got triple digits. So LeBron, there's something interesting. Adrian Wojnarowski, who covers the NBA, of course, talked about LeBron and the getting back to health thing. So you've got a couple things going here. So the ankle injury that LeBron has had has been hampering him for quite some time. And here's the real concern, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, who's just, you know, he's on top of this stuff. He's got sources inside all of the sources. He gets he is one of those inside sources that Boyd Mathewson uses. So here you go.
I've told LeBron James, and I think you could see it on the court, struggling with, you know, his explosion, with hard cuts, you know, coming off that 6 weeks of inactivity, really not able to practice with a team because they're not practicing much this time of year.
Scott, hard-hitting stuff. He's not as explosive off that ankle. I was shocked to hear that the after 6 weeks of trying to nurse that ankle back to 100%, he still is not very explosive off of it. But that wasn't the thing that caught our attention.
Okay.
It was this one from Jay Williams, from Jason Williams on LeBron James on ESPN. He was giving this comparison because LeBron put it out there that he doesn't think that he'll ever get back to 100% on that ankle. Like, he's just never going to be right again. And this is what Jay Williams had to say about it.
I think LeBron James is the greatest player of all time. But hearing LeBron talk about this the other day, I quote, "I knew I wasn't going to be back to 100. It's impossible. I don't think I will ever get back to 100% in my career." As a guy who played for the Bulls, who's watched Michael Jordan for a long time, I've never heard MJ say something like that. "I'll never be back to 100%. MJ just wouldn't say anything. You figure out if I'm hurt or not. I don't care.
So he kind of goes into this whole thing about how you've just given this massive piece of information to your competitors forever that you're not going to be 100% anymore. Fans look at that and go, oh, I guess his days are behind him. And then cynical guys like me, Scott, say that LeBron James says that kind of stuff because it's an excuse forever for him to be able to say, yeah, I won all those championships, but I haven't been 100% for a while if things don't go his way.
See, I look at it as I don't care. I don't care that your ankle's hurting you. I don't care that things aren't perfect.
It's, ooh, heartless Scott Mitchell.
Well, yeah. That's not how it works. That's part of what's great and what we like to watch in sports is that the gladiators are out there battling. And they're not 100%, but it goes back to kind of what I was saying about my son. It's like, things aren't always perfect. Figure it out. And a lot of times it's like you put in these built-in excuses because we're so afraid that we might fail. And the failure is so much more of a driving force than actually going out there and trying and actually failing. And so we just don't try, or we say, well, you know, I would have, but, and the reality is no one cares. Like this isn't life and death. This stuff doesn't really matter. This is something that we want to watch. We don't want our heroes to sit there and say, yeah, you know, I'd really go out there for you guys, but I'm just not 100%. And it's like, no. You look at some of these trailblazers in a lot of these sports. I mean, Larry Bird, you know, he just, you know, clearly his back was hurting him, but he didn't sit there and say stuff about it. I mean, Michael Jordan, who I hate, but I also respect, he was miserable against the Utah Jazz. He was, you could tell he was like, I do not feel good.
Right.
I feel awful.
But you know what you did? You let the media like build that story up, right? Like if you're him, he wasn't going out there and go before the game going, you know, I have a fever. Put it out there. I've got a fever. I'm going to tweet out not feeling 100%.
I don't know how it's going
to
work.
I don't think I'll ever be 100% after this flu, man. I don't know. I just won't be able to. So it's a weird flex to have to be able to just go, yeah, man, my ankle's never going to be the same, actually. No one wants to hear that.
Basketball players, how do they don't get injured? Serious. Like, play football. You think about never being 100%? Come on.
I'm going to send you an email, Mark.
Basketball players, Alex, are guys who didn't want to play. They weren't tough enough.
You're not going to be expecting it.
They were kind of wusses.
The email.
They were.
The email will be entitled to my friend Scott. You'll open it, unsuspecting, and it will just be a video of Gordon Hayward's ankle, like, basically falling off of his body. And then you can say they don't really get hurt. You can tell me they don't really get hurt. All right. Coming back, Morning Joe. Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television joins us next on KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.